Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. On the show today, we have Dollar Associates Dennis Dollar talking about the latest NCUA field of membership changes, so check it out. Big day yesterday for the NCUA and field of membership. What's your take on all what occurred yesterday?
Well, this is the first major improvement to the field of membership rules since 2003 when I was at NCUA and we really approved the rules that were in place until 2010 when under Chairman Matz they began to cut back on those field of membership opportunities. And so I'm really thrilled that they now have come back and have tried to undo some of the takeaways that they had done originally, and that we've got a serious look at the field of membership rules, because field of membership still matters. I mean, as long as capital matters, then earnings will matter. As long as earnings will matter, then business will matter. As long as business matters, members matter. And as long as members matters, field of membership matters. So that they are interrelated. It's hard for me to believe that the agency would push risk-based capital without trying to push ways to be able to enable credit unions to build that capital through their earnings from new members. So I think it's very timely. I commend the board for taking it seriously. You could tell it's a 120-page proposal. They spent a lot of time on it, done a lot of work on it. There are some things that are very good in there. There are some things that certainly could have gone further and that I think will be disappointing for some credit unions that they didn't go further. But overall, I think it is a step in the right direction, and I commend them for taking the issue seriously.
Yeah, this is kind of fast-tracked as well. It's been a speedy process, I mean, in regards to other items that have taken a little while. And this is Vice Chairman Metzger has really kind of pushed this as well. He's kind of taken the flag and run with it.
He has. Vice Chairman Metzger has made this his issue, and I commend him for that. Chairman Matz, of course, has made it one of the items in her year of regulatory relief. Mm-hmm. And board member McWaters has been pushing field of membership reform since he's been on the board. Right. So it's one of those unique areas right now on this board dynamic where they all three are on board. Exactly. It's just a matter of the nuance and what to add, what not to add, just how far to go. Yeah. But Vice Chairman Metzger has taken the leadership on it, and I certainly give him a commendation for that. And although that it's been sort of fast-tracked in that Vice Chairman Metzger and Chairman Matz have only been talking about it this year,
true,
they
true.
Have obviously been working on it for a couple of years,
and
I'm glad to see that it's finally in a written form where credit unions can comment on it, and we can find out just what the industry response is.
Yeah, no doubt. So, what were a couple of key items or key takeaways that you took from the meeting yesterday, from the field of membership section of it, so to speak?
Well, I think that the biggest improvements in the current rules was that they expanded where community chartered credit unions at the federal level. Remember, these rules only apply to federal credit unions.
Right.
One of the reasons they put this rule in place is they've started losing a lot of federal credit unions
to state charters.
In fact, we do a lot of conversion work, state to federal, federal to state. Mm-hmm. I think we're in like 14 federal to states right now in our firm because the states are just much more flexible in the field of membership than is NCUA.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the reasons that they are coming forward with this, to try to make the federal charter more competitive. But one of the improvements that they have proposed here is to enable a community charter to be able to expand beyond just a single MSA, a single metropolitan statistical area. They can expand out to a combined statistical area, which is more expansive than a metropolitan statistical area. They can take contiguous counties around either an MSA or a CSA, mm-hmm. as long as they make a narrative case that this is part of the interactive community.
Mm-hmm.
And they can even take a congressional district as a community. So these are some improvements, some enhancements in that regard. Now, there's still the disappointment that they have left in place the 2.5 million cap on the community, which I've always felt that those caps were arbitrary. We never had those caps in the 2003 rules. Chairman Matz put them in place in her 2010 rules. I've always had a problem saying that 2.4 million people is a community, 2.6 million is not. I think that it should be something that is proven by the documentation of a community and the credit union's ability to serve that community, regardless of its size. But they left the 2.5 cap in. That's a disappointment,
mm-hmm.
and I think a lot of credit unions will comment on that.
Yeah, I bet.
Particularly those in larger metropolitan areas. But they did allow some of those additional expansions beyond an MSA, and that's very positive. Another thing that they did that I think was long overdue, but still they deserve commendation for doing it, is for seg-based credit unions, multiple group credit unions, they included online banking and mobile delivery of services to be a service facility.
I noticed that, yeah.
For approving a seg, which no longer means that a seg has to be within 25 miles of a credit branch. And of course, when I saw this, my first thoughts were, you know, welcome to 2015, to which my partner committed me, said, hey, welcome to 1995. Folks have been using online banking and mobile banking for probably 20 years now.
Yeah.
And CUA is just now catching up. But I commend them for doing so, and that's going to help a lot of seg-based credit unions to be able to expand their seg base even further. They did some other creative things as it relates to tip charters, trade industry and profession charters. I think that it will open the door there somewhat, although they didn't go as far as, again, we'd like to see them go to allow tip charters to take in underserved areas or even segs outside of the tip. So I would say overall, it is certainly a solid step in the right direction. There's certainly nothing that they did that's outside the scope of the law whatsoever. I would submit they could have gone much further and still stayed within the law. So I think there are some areas where they could have gone further and frankly should have gone further, but it is a step in the right direction. It certainly is an improvement over the 2010 rules that Chairman Matz and her board at that time put in place, which really undermined a lot of the things that we had put in place in 2003. Frankly, it's not as expansive as our 2003 rules were. But because they took so many of those away in 2010, it is a very good step in the right direction, and I commend them for it.
Nice, nice, nice. And so, I mean, why are these so important today? Because, I mean, like you mentioned before, like, you know, with the online banking and mobile banking, that type of stuff, it's like catching up with the times. And so credit unions can further grow, I guess, is pretty much the bottom line here, right?
The bottom line is growth. It's all about growth. To remain competitive in this marketplace, you have to be able to grow. The economies of scale that enables you to control your expenses, the ability to bring in more business through lending, through deposit services and the like, the non-interest income, the interest income, all of that comes from your membership. And if you don't have sufficient membership and sufficient diversification within that membership, it stymies your ability to grow. The most highly performing credit unions in the country today are those that are growing.
Yeah.
And the numbers from NCUA, the numbers from Callahan, the numbers from just about every source show that, that the growing credit unions are performing better. Well, where does that growth start? It starts with the field of membership from which the members come, from which the business come, from which the earnings come. So it matters because remaining a safe, sound, and long-term viable credit union requires ongoing growth.
Yeah, exactly. And now on the other side of the coin, the banking industry has already kind of commented. I mean, why shouldn't they? But they're already kind of up in arms about the whole thing. But, you know, I mean, that's their job, it sounds
That's standard fare. If there was a regulation to allow credit unions to stay open until 6 o'clock, they would be against it. The banks are naturally going to oppose anything that allows credit unions to expand their footprint. But the question is not whether the bankers like it or not. The question is it within the law?
Right.
Congress passed in 1998 the law over the opposition of the very bankers who don't like this. They didn't like our rules in 2003. The only field of membership rules I've ever seen that they liked was the 2010 that cut back our 2003
like,
rules.
They're like, yay!
Yeah, they're only for those things that restrict credit unions' ability to grow and compete, because they'd love credit unions to stay small and non-competitive and frankly not financially sound. It's easy for them to dispose of competitors who are small and can't make it. So anything that enables credit unions' ability to grow and to enhance their services and expand their membership, they're not going to like. But Congress passed the law that says, here's what NCUA have as their parameters for field of membership. NCUA has frankly never, even in our days, although I think we pushed the envelope further than perhaps it's been pushed since we left, we didn't push it as far as it could have been pushed. And I think that it could be pushed even further and stay within the law. But I think NCUA is taking it a step at a time. And again, compared to what they did in 2010 when they undid some of the very positive things we had in the 2003 rules, I'm glad to see them going in this direction. Although, again, I think some credit unions are going to be disappointed they didn't go further.
Yeah, and we'll find out about that in the commentary period.
That's right. It's going to be a 60-day comment period, and I expect a lot of comments. I expect the bankers will oppose every aspect of it.
Sure.
But I think what's going to be the most important thing is the credit union response. And I really encourage credit unions not just to write a letter and say, hey, good job, I'm glad you did this, because there are some good things in there. But I think they really need to propose and to suggest some of these other ideas, like removing the 2.5 cap, removing even the cap on rural districts. Yes, they increased it from 250,000 to a million for a rural district, which was a good step in the right direction. But I still submit that a rural district is either a rural district or it's not. And the density requirements are already in the regulation. Why do you need again an artificial cap? They went so far as to allow, as I said a moment ago, a service facility to be counted for home banking or for online banking and for mobile, but they did not allow that same thing for a service facility for a credit union that wants to take in an underserved area. So a credit union that takes in an underserved area still has to put a brick and mortar branch in that underserved area, which is going to, again, restrict some extension of service into underserved areas, whereby if they had allowed reasonable proximity through some of these more modern means, even perhaps allowing a branch to be in reasonable proximity of the underserved area. We've had underserved areas that were turned down because the credit union had a branch across the street from the census tract. And so because it wasn't on the left-hand side of the street, it was on the right-hand side of the street, NCUA would not approve the underserved area. So they had to go, even though they had a branch there, and open another one inside the underserved area.
Wow.
Again, doesn't make sense from a safety and soundness perspective or from a service to the underserved perspective. So there's some things like that that certainly are within the law that they could have done. I'm hoping that they get some comments about that and that they maybe at least reevaluate some of those things in the final rule.
Yeah, and based on the RBC, what happened with RBC and during the first commentary period, they did make some changes based on the comments. So hopefully, you know, maybe they'll listen. And like you say, if you know, Creightons do speak up about the cap and other items and stuff, you know, maybe they'll consider that and have a new version come out. Who knows?
Well, they were a lot further off on their first version of risk-based capital.
Very true.
And so, you know, the 2,100 comments they got there were really needed. I don't think they're as far off on this. I don't think that they're probably just a few changes, such as removing the population caps, making the ability for underserved areas to have reasonable proximity, allowing TIP charters to take in SEGs and underserved areas. I think they're not but two or three changes away from having something that would probably grade out an A for credit unions. I think right now it's probably a good solid B minus.
Okay. All right. We grade them. So what are the next steps from here? I mean, obviously we have the commentary period, and then what? Where do we go from here?
Well, I think once it goes into effect, you'll see two things happen. First of all, there'll be a period of time that NCUA will wait before they come back and revisit filler membership rules to see how this is playing out. The second thing that will happen is the states will react. Every state that has a parity law, which is most of the states, automatically, when these rules go into effect, those rules go into effect in those states as well. So it really doesn't put the federals ahead of the states by any stretch. I can't think of a single state charter that would convert to a federal charter because of this rule. Now, there are some federal charters that would rather stay federal, that as a result of this rule may choose to stay federal for a few more years and see how this plays out and whether NCUA comes along and pushes that envelope a little bit further within the bounds of the law. So I think it's going to be next stage after it's finalized is let's see how it plays out, how credit unions feel that it empowers them to be able to do what they need to do as far as their own growth, whether they could do it on the federal charter, the state charter, and then NCUA may have to revisit the issue again in the future. States certainly will be doing so along the way.
Sounds good. All right, Dennis, always a pleasure getting your feedback on this type of stuff. Love kind of like the first-hand take on it. But I think, you know, I think you're right. I mean, it's definitely a big step in the right direction. I think there's a collective hallelujah from the industry with this move as well. So, I mean, it's well past due time for stuff like this. As you say, we're catching up with the time. So this is, I think, I totally agree with you. I think it's a big step in the right direction.
Well, Rick Metzger says that the field of membership rules haven't been improved since Justin Bieber was born, and that's probably true. Yeah. It was right around the time that we approved those rules back in the early 2000s. So happy birthday to Justin, and thank you to the NCAA board for at least taking the issue seriously. I'd like to see him go a little bit further. They're certainly well within the law with this, but I think they can go further within the law. But there are some positive things in there, and we're glad to see that.
Indeed. All right, Dennis, great message to end on. Thanks again for your time, as always, and we'll check back again after the next big meeting. So always great to get your take.
All right.